I'd like to ask all of the Sunday school, the adult Sunday school teachers, that would be Mrs. Putnam, Pastor Brandon, Brother David Thompson, and myself. We're going to have a guest missionary and with us Sunday, and I'd like for us to meet in here. I will also be contacting Brother Allen and Brother David to see if they would join us. But we'd like for Brother Sparks to speak with us this Sunday. And so he's going to speak in the Sunday school hour. So please keep that in mind. You come and be a part of that, and let's support the man of God and come and hear what he has for us. I believe when the man of God comes with a message, it's for all of us. It's not just for some of us. I've said it often. Sometimes we are creatures of habit, but we're also creatures of crisis. We think that everything that God does for us, that he's going to do out of crisis, you know, crisis management, that everything has to be corrective. But God works in the preventative too. God can give us things that can help us down the road. It may not be where we are now that God is preparing us for. It may be for something down the road. And so always keep that in mind. Brother North and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, when you started that series of messages on marriage, he said, I got to be honest with you. I thought, well, you know, I probably won't get a whole lot out of that. And he said, then the Lord just gave me some truth. And as long as the Word of God's being preached, God can take His Word and He can meet a need in your life. I'm just a firm believer in that. And so hope to see you in Sunday school. Please keep that in mind. Leviticus chapter number 13. Leviticus chapter 13. We've been studying through the book of Leviticus. And if you remember, we talked about several things from the priesthood, from the five offerings. And we talked about some of the purity laws in chapters number 9 and 10, 11 and 12. In chapter 13, 14, and 15, Moses continues on with some of the ceremonial or what's called purity laws. And I want to talk to you. He deals mainly with a disease. If you remember in chapter number 11 and 12, he dealt with not touching that is dead, you know, the carcass of the dead. He talked about given birth in chapter number 12 and some of the things, some of the ceremonies and rituals that were to be gone through. But here in chapter 13, he kind of narrows it down to leprosy. And I want to talk to you about that tonight, leprosy. Now, why did God go through great lengths to tell us these things about leprosy and about the different physical diseases? Well, without a doubt, one purpose is because he cares about our physical beings. If you'll remember, even in chapter, I think it was chapter number 10 or 11, he talked about things we should and should not eat. See, God is concerned about your soul, but God's concerned about your body too. God's concerned about you being holy, but now God's concerned about you being healthy too. And sometimes they go together. And someone said, when you get those down, then you can be happy. Sometimes we skip those first two. We just want to be happy, you know. So we have to learn God's way. So God begins to talk about leprosy through Moses here and some of the ceremonial laws and some of the rituals, some of the things of the examinations and going to the priest. And I was mentioning in our prayer group, when you look at chapter number 13, you look, there's 59 verses. Chapter 14, there's 57. And I'm going to cover verse by verse each one of these. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to top them. And I'm going to give you some things that I think would be helpful to you. Why does God deal with sickness, with disease in the Bible? Well, as I said, one is without a doubt, God wants us to know that this is part of life under the curse. Under the curse, you see. It's going to be part of our lives. Now, I've seen people get sick and they blame God. They get angry. And they say, why did God do this? Well, sin did that to you. And we need to understand that. You know, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We have to understand that God doesn't want you to be sick. When God made Adam and Eve, He made them perfect. Without sickness. But when they sin, part of sin is sickness. It's becoming puny physically. It kills you spiritually. And that day, God said, to Adam, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He died that day, spiritually. You see, spiritually, he died. And that's why we have to be born again. We have to be born from above. We have to be born spiritually. But part of the curse is sickness and disease and affliction. And so God prepares us for that by referring to it and making reference in the scripture. Now, there's a second reason. God takes this sickness and affliction that is physical, and he teaches us good spiritual lessons that perhaps otherwise we couldn't really grasp. You know, he deals with like blindness in the New Testament in particular, and he uses that to show us how blinding sin can be, how that people can just be blind to things in that are going on around them, and danger physically. Well, that can happen spiritually when sin gets a hold of our lives. He deals with paralytics. He deals with those that have that have paralysis. And he talks about how that sin can have a numbing effect. And he paints that picture in the scripture. And sin does. Leprosy actually causes you to lose feeling in the nerves to where you just become numb to pain, numb to things. And sin does that. And so he paints that picture. All right? He shows us. Now, leprosy is in this day, in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament day, but in particular in the Old Testament day, was kind of like the cancer or the AIDS of our day. It was something that was just greatly feared, and there was no real known cure for it. Only the miracle of God could cure leprosy. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a trivia question. I want you to think about this. How many people in the Old Testament do we know by name that had leprosy? God gave us five of them. And they're very interesting cases. Some of them are very surprising. The first person that the Bible mentions, now pay attention up here. The first person that the Bible mentions that has leprosy was Moses. Isn't that something? Moses. You would think it would be some outcast, some no-name, but Moses in Exodus chapter number 4. You might want to write these scriptures down. In Exodus chapter number 4. Now, why did God allow Moses to have leprosy? He wanted to teach Moses something. You know better than Pharaoh, Moses. Okay, without my grace, now listen to me. Without me coming to you, without my sovereign grace, without me working in your life, you're no different than Pharaoh. All right? You're raised in that home. You were raised in that culture. You're no different than him. And so without me, don't think you're who you are because of you. Without me, you're nothing. And God wants us all to know that. And so he struck Moses. And then there was Miriam, Moses' sister. That's Numbers 12. Now, we studied that one together when we were going through the book of Numbers. And that was, rather than to reveal something as he did to Moses, that came out of a rebuke for criticizing God's man, her brother Moses. And then there was Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5. And that was a kind of a restore. You ought to write this scripture down. Luke chapter number 4, verses 27 through 29. Jesus said that of all the people in Elisha's day, now listen, all the people in Elisha's day, only Naaman was the one cured from leprosy. No other lepers in Elisha's day. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 4, verse 27 through 29. No other leper. Now, why did God do that? He was teaching. He was teaching not only Naaman, but he was teaching others. Preconceived ideas about salvation can be dangerous. Naaman had some preconceived ideas. Remember that account in 2 Kings 5? Go home and read it, and you'll see where God taught a valuable lesson. Now, that was the third person. Now, Gehazi, that was his servant, Elisha's servant. Now, God struck him with leprosy. Now, why did God do that? Because Elisha had gone to great length to tell Naaman that salvation was free. It couldn't be purchased. And you remember what happened? That cleansing was free. And after God, through Elisha, worked a miracle, and Naaman was cleansed, Gehazi went out after him. And he told him to give him merchandise and money for Elisha's trouble. And God struck him with leprosy. He rebuked him, right? He rebuked him for that. Now, the fifth and final one was King Uzziah. And that's found in 2 Chronicles 26. He had gotten swollen up with pride and presumption, and he thought just because he was a king and had a little authority, he could take on the act of the priest and get involved in the priesthood, and God struck him with leprosy. Now, here's five people, and each one of them teach a lesson, and they're great lessons. But here's five people in the Old Testament that by name God tells us had this terrible disease called leprosy. Now, in Leviticus 13 and 14, God deals with this thing called leprosy. I just want to top some things here. I want to show you some things of how terrible this thing was. But as we talk about it, I don't want you to think about leprosy. I want you to think about sin. Because in the Bible, God says that leprosy physically will do to us what sin will do to us spiritually. And he draws us a picture. You see, people in our society today, even in churches, they take sin way too lightly. And we're all apt to do that. We're all apt to do it. We're all apt to just say, well, you know, it's just a little this or it's a little that. And we just take sin too lightly. Sin should be taken seriously. Sin devastates. See, leprosy, as we shall see, it starts out just as a little spot. But before long, people's limbs are falling off their body. I mean, literally, their limbs, their extremities are numbed and their limbs rot from their body. What starts out as just a little white spot. Look what the Bible says here in chapter number 13 of the book of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot. Just a spot. Starts off as just a spot. But that's not the way it finishes. I'm telling you, when you read, what a gruesome chapter 13, and some in chapter 14, as God goes into detail to tell us about the awfulness of this plague, of this physical affliction, this unclean defilement called leprosy. Now, when Jesus came and he healed people, he healed from different diseases. But every time when Jesus dealt with lepers, the Bible doesn't say he healed them. It says he cleansed them. Why? They were dirty. They were defiled. They were unclean. They had to cry that. They had to go outside the camp. They had to be isolated and separated because of the awfulness, the exceedingness of their affliction. So God wants us to learn something here, that sin has an exceedingness to it. The exceeding sinfulness of sin is terrible. In our churches today, there seems to be a lightheartedness about sin. There seems to be, even among people who profess the name of Christ, that we can mock at it. We can laugh at it. The comedians, they make light of sin, and we laugh with them when they mention sin, the sin of drunkenness, or the sin of adultery, or the sin of thievery. And there's those who will laugh at it. And God says that only a fool will make a mock at sin. Sin's a terrible thing. It's terrible. And there was a day in the church of God, in the church of the living God, where sin was seen for what it really, really is. In our day, we seem to have lost that edge. We seem to have taken it lightly, And there's no fear for what sin does and is doing in the lives of others. People toy with it and play around with it. What does God say about it? Well, number one, he said that it's deeper than the skin. Now, I'm not going to show you every time that God uses that term, but over and over again, look in chapter 13, look if you would, in chapter 13, in verse number 3, right in the middle of that verse, it says, "And the plague in the sight be deeper than the skin in his flesh." You see that? Look down, if you would, in verse number 4, again, right in the middle, "And the sight be not deeper than the skin." Now, what's happening here is there's given this scenario that if a person begins to have a rise or a spot, then they're to be brought to the priest, and the priest examines the plague, and if it be deeper than the skin or if it be not deeper than the skin, then the examination goes further to see whether he would literally be put in a colony, a leper colony outside the camp. He had to be removed from his everyday activities, from his friends, his families, his acquaintances, his job. I mean, it crippled him in every way. And so I want you to think about that for a moment. Look one more time, if you would. Over in verse number, it's mentioned again in verse number 25. Right in the middle of that verse, it says, "And it be in sight," in chapter 13 of Leviticus, in verse 25, "deeper than the skin." Verse number 30, again, "Then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight, deeper than the skin." Verse 31, "And the priest shall look on the plague of the skull, and behold, it be not in sight, deeper than the skin." This phrase is used over and over. What is God wanting us to know about leprosy? Well, he wants us to know that it's something that's under, it's under the skin, and it starts making its way up. Now, when I thought about this, and when you read after folks who write about leprosy and the picture of it being of sin, it reminds us that's what sin is. It's deeper than what you can see. See, people can dress sin up. And we've done a good job in our society of dressing sin up. See, nobody's a drunkard anymore. They're a drinker. Right? Nobody commits adultery anymore. They have an affair. Listen to me. It's no longer a drug addict. It's a dependency. And we've candy-coated, and we've made sin look fashionable. We've made it okay. But God said that whether you can put any kind of name you want on, but it's deeper than the skin. It's deeper than what it looks like on the outside. It goes deeper. Now, ultimately, Jesus taught in Matthew 15 that it goes all the way into the heart. All the way into the heart. It's not what goes into a man. It's what comes out. Why? Because it's in the heart, you see. From the heart proceed the issues of life. It's not what a man puts in him that defiles him, Matthew 15, 19 and 20. But he said it's what comes out of him. Fornications and adulteries and murders and thieves. He says it's those kind of things. It's the heart. Jeremiah said that the heart is deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Above all things, who can know it? You see, the heart. See, sin is a heart problem. So, we'll just get some education and we'll improve sin. You can't improve on sin. Sin is deadly. It kills. Well, we'll just reform people. We'll just get people reformed. That's what they need. People just need to get reformed, preacher. We just need to reform people and teach them to do better. Listen, you can clean up a hog. I don't care. You can put a bow on it. But listen, that hog has a nature, and that nature will never be changed, and that hog will go right back to the slop from whence it came. Right back. It's the nature. You got to get the nature changed. So you got to get that new nature. You understand, right? This old Adamic nature, hear me now, this old Adamic nature, this old heart, this old wicked heart, left to itself, there's no telling what we might do. There's no telling what we might do. If you've been saved any length of time, you're going to be able to qualify this statement that I'm making. Now listen to me. People that are saved in the grace of God and not walking in the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, are just as apt to do the mean, rotten, wicked, sinful things that those that are not saved in the grace of God do. I'm just as apt to do something just as mean and sorry as the next sinner. I need the anointing of God. I need the grace of God. I need the power of the Holy Spirit of God in my life to produce spirit fruit. You need it too. So sin, like leprosy, is deeper than the skin. Now there's a group of people saying, well, we're going to usher in the kingdom. Now don't you listen to them. That's not biblical. Well, we're getting better and better. I don't see it. Now listen, this is their mindset. This is their mindset. There's an innate goodness in man, and we're getting better and better, and we're going to usher in the kingdom, and Jesus is going to come and sit on the throne. Oh my, listen to me. There's nothing further from the truth in that book right there. We're declining rapidly. Rapidly. Except Jesus come, there should be no faith left upon this earth. That's what the Bible teaches. Matter of fact, he asked, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth? So don't you listen to that now. Well, we're just getting better and better, and there's an innate goodness in us, and we're just going to usher in the kingdom. That is not biblical. Man is depraved. We have a sinful, dark, depraved nature. You say, well, that's not very, that's not very encouraging. Well, right now we're not going to get concerned about encouragement. Let's stay concerned about truth. Truth. And you stick with truth, in the end, truth will bring encouragement. But many times before truth can bring encouragement, it has to show you where you are so it can lead you where you need to be. And that's why God starts here with sin. Now he'll get with the cleansing of it in just a moment. Leprosy, deeper than the skin. Number two, it spreads. Look in verse number 5. Chapter 13, verse number 5. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin. Look at verse 6, right in the middle. It says, if the plague spread not. But look at verse number 7 of chapter 13 of the book of Leviticus. Chapter 7 starts out this way. But if the scab spread much. See, the priest is making a determination on what to do with this individual, that there's a possibility that there's leprosy. Leprosy spreads. It's contagious. It oozes. It has pus. And that's why there were so... when you really begin to study what happens here, these boils and nodules and risins, they pucker, they pus up, and they lacerate, and they ooze and they bleed, and it's a terrible thing. It was so bad that when a person, they had to be, like I said, isolated and separated, because people could pick it up from following them, sitting where they sit or wearing what they wore. And they had to be very detailed instructions. Now, what's God telling me here? He said it spreads. You know, sin spreads. It does. I mentioned it earlier. Drinking. You know, how many drunkards do you know that started out taking a social drink? Now, listen to me. You know, preacher, I just had one. I was going to have one drink. Now they drink every day of their life until they literally drink till they pass out. I know people that way. They drink every day till they pass out. You know, they start out with a little flirting, a little word here, a little word there, a little flirt, ends up in adultery. Spreads. Start out with a little toke, a little buzz, a little snort, a little lime, a little fix. Add it. Just a little peek, just a little peek, just a little look. Add it. So that's the way sin does. Sin controls people. Spreads. I think about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve. Eve looked, and then Eve took. You know what that led to? Now think about this for a moment. Here's Adam and Eve. They disobeyed. Someone might say, well, what's the big deal? They disobeyed. They disobeyed one commandment. Well, they stole. They took something that God told them that wasn't theirs. Guess what that led to? Their son lied, and then he murdered. See how sin spreads? Then guess what happened? Then people, as they begin to populate the earth, you get over to chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. In chapter 4, you got a man lying and murdering. In chapter 6, you got a whole society that every imagination in their heart was over only evil continually. See, sin spreads. You say, I'll control it. Don't fool yourself. That's always a lie of the devil. So like leprosy, sin spreads, doesn't it? You say, I can handle it. Well, Samson thought he could. And how many people have thought that they could handle sin? Right? How many people right now, out of church, lost their family, lost everything? I mean, lost it all. Because, listen, I know a young man. There was a, and I'm not going to call his name in case someone's watching. But these folks right here know who I'm talking about. What a Bible teacher. A promising young preacher. Was out one night, gave an old friend, now listen to me, gave an old friend a ride. So how do you know this preacher? I went and met him behind a Big Lots after he had lost everything, okay? Sleeping in his vehicle, running from the repossession company that was going to take his truck. I went and met him because I loved him and I cared about him. And I went out at 2:00 in the morning behind a Big Lots, and I sit there and I wept with him and I said, what in the world has happened? And he told me this. He said, just one night, he said, I met an old friend from high school and he needed a ride. And I gave him a ride. And he said, in Ralph there, he said, he pulled out a pipe and he started smoking a rock. He said, I had heard of crack cocaine. He said, but I didn't know what it was. And I told him to put it up, and as time went on, he said, just take, Pastor, he said, I promise you, he said, I took one hit. I've never looked back. I've been chasing that high all of these months, and I can't get it, preacher. I can't get it. I've lost it all. My bank account's dry. My family's gone. My home's gone. I've lost it all. Promising young man. Promising. One. Came from his own lips. He's not the only one I've talked to that way. I can't tell you the people that I've talked to who said, hey, just I went one place, I done one thing, I tried one situation. Listen, sin spreads. Don't think you can control it. Without the grace and the power of God, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, sin will make fools of us all. Don't you think I'll stand firm? That's, what are you going to stand in? What do you got to stand in? Stay near the cross. Brandon Crosby said, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Stay near. Stay close to God. Stay in the Word. Stay accountable to the brethren. Be in a circle. Amen. It's important. Sin spreads. Sin is deeper than the skin. Then it says in chapter number 13, look in verse number 44 about this leprosy. It says this about leprosy. In verse number 44, it says that it defiles. It defiles. Now, I'm not going to go through these, but 54 times in chapters 13, 14, and 15, count them now, 54 times you will find this term, unclean. Unclean. Sin will make you dirty. Make you feel dirty. Guilty. Shameful. Sin does that. Sin. I'm glad the blood of Jesus can make you feel clean. Aren't you? Well, I tell you, I like old Steve when he gives his testimony. He says when he got saved, he said he was kneeling down. And he said when he got up, he said, just felt like a load of bricks was lifted off of him. I kind of had a similar experience. I'm not into experiences, but I'm telling you right now, when you get saved, God does something in your life that makes you feel clean. The night I got saved, I just felt squeaky clean, amen. The blood of Jesus was applied to my life. Since that time, I felt dirty again. Dirty. sin makes me feel dirty. Hey, you've got a problem if sin don't make you feel dirty. Sin makes us feel dirty, shameful. Notice what it says here in verse number 44. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest should pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Why'd they do that? Because they were so contagious, nobody could be around them. Nobody could touch them. Stay away. Unclean. It isolates them. Notice what the Bible says in verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Not only does sin, like leprosy, it's deeper than the skin, it spreads, it defiles, but it isolates. Look at that. He, in verse 46, shall dwell alone. Isn't that sad? Doesn't sin make you feel that way? Sin. I'm glad I'm in the fellowship of the believer, the fellowship of the redeemed. I like it when I'm with my brethren. Sin makes me want to isolate myself, run and hide like I did Adam and Eve in the garden, you see. If you're ducking and dodging and shifting and turning and running and hiding, hey, sin does that. If you're making up stories and concocting tales and trying to twist and turn like Abraham did when he went down to Egypt, listen to me, sin does that. Tell them you're my sister. Sin does that. Someone went to Charles Haddon Spurgeon years ago and said, Mr. Spurgeon, I'd like to write your biography. And he said, write it in the clouds, if you will. I have nothing to hide. So that's what the blood of Jesus can do. The blood of Jesus can make you know that your sins are forgiven. They're under the blood. You don't have to duck and dodge and hide and drive in behind big lots. Run. Always on the run. Sin. Always running. Not only isolates, but notice it separates. Not only does he dwell alone, verse number 46, but it says, without the camp shall be his habitation. You know, I thought about this. If you'll turn just for a moment in chapter number 14, look in verse number 43. Chapter 14 and verse 43, and if the plague come again and break out in the house. Thought about how many homes have been broken, how many families have been destroyed because of sin. Sin. See, leprosy, the person could be a father, a mother, husband, a wife, a child with leprosy, that had to be removed. They had to be taken away. It separates. Sin does that. Sin. I know families right now. Listen, I know a man right now. I love him. I care about him. He can't even be around his own family. Why? He's got a restraining order against him. Why? Sin. Sin. Sin does that. See, that's what sin does. So a preacher will never do it to me. Oh, listen. Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now you be careful about what you say that'll never happen to you. By the grace of God, we pray that we would never be found in that place. And were it not for the grace of God, we'd all be there. Please remember that. Sin. I've got just a couple of minutes and I want to share something with you. Our lives do not have to be this way. There's no known cure for leprosy. In this day, they were relying solely on the miracle of God. Solely. Just like sin, man can't cure your sin problem. Man can't cure our sin problem. it lies solely in the hands of God. It takes a miracle of God to take care of our sin problem. Let's look at a couple of things in chapter 14, and I'll just skim these things. Write them down, though. I want you to go home and read this. This is tremendous teaching right out of the, listen, you can just read it. It's right here. I want to give you just a little guidance to kind of navigate yourself through chapter 14. I will guarantee you a blessing. Look in chapter 14. Notice, first of all, that the priest came to the victim. The Bible says in verse number 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his what? Cleansing, not healing. Cleansing. Why? Isaiah said, we are all as an unclean thing. Unclean doesn't need healing, it needs cleansing. And he said here, he shall be brought unto the priest. You say, well, I thought the... Well, look what the Bible says. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go forth, watch it now, out of the camp. Did you know that Hebrews 13 says that Jesus died outside the camp? He did. What's that mean? Now, I want you to listen. It means Jesus makes house calls. Amen. He's the great physician. That's what Jesus likened himself to. He said, the Son of Man hath come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said that the whole needeth not a physician, but the sick. Jesus went to them. I'm glad Jesus came to me. Just like this priest went to that leper, Jesus came to me. Jesus came to me. Now the leper had to present himself and say, hey, I'm sick. And then the priest said, okay, I'll meet you outside the camp. You see how that works? You'll never be made whole until you realize you're sick. Never. Just like it was with the leper. Notice this in verse number 4. Then shall the priest command to take him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive. Now, I'm not going to get into all this, but you watch this. These birds, when you read this, one is a picture. It's put in an earthen vessel of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And then a bird is killed in a blood. The blood is put there, which is a picture of the crucifixion. And then a live bird is set free. It says that in verse number 7, or verse number 6. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, and the blood, and the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him, verse number 7, that which was cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. It's a picture of the resurrection. The finished work of Jesus is what cleanses us. It's what cleanses us. It's the only thing that can cleanse you. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Don't you ever forget that, brethren. Don't you ever forget that. There are people by the multitudes turning away from old-time religion. They say, well, you know, that old bloody religion. Thank God for bloody religion. A bloodless religion will only make you religious and a two-fold child of hell. Now listen to me. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no remission from sin. Except the blood of Jesus be shed. And if you'll notice here in verse number 6, it had to be applied with a hyssop branch. Now I'm going to close with this truth. There's several things here. We may pick up here next week, but I want you to see this. So what happens when this person is met by the priest and these birds are one killed and the blood and the running water, which is the picture of the Holy Spirit of God, and then the bird is set free, the ceremonial cleansing. Matthew chapter 8, you can read where Jesus told a leper that he touched and healed to go to the priest for this same procedure right here. This same procedure. He said, I want you to go and I want you to fulfill this. See, there were certain things. The priest didn't just say, okay, you're clean, and then the cleanse just did what they want. Hey, when you get saved, there's more. There's more. And we will take a look at this. You have a responsibility to wash and to clean yourself. You say, well, I thought he was cleansed. Oh, listen, there's some great teaching here. You read it this week. But here's something you can't miss, and we'll close with this. Remember back in chapter 8 where God told Aaron, he said, I want you to take the blood and I want you to apply it to the tip of the right ear of the priest. Remember? The thumb of the right hand, the big toe of the right foot. Watch what happens here. Now here's a person. Here's a person, a leper, been living in a leper colony. And then he gets made whole. He gets cleansed. God tells this priest, he said, I want you to give him the priestly treatment. Follow it. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. We'll have to find it here because I skipped ahead a little bit. Verse number 14. Chapter 14, verse 14. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed. Isn't that something? He's doing the same ceremony that he did with the priest. You know why? Because when you get saved, when I got saved, God made me a priest. I'm a priest. And by the way, and a king. That's right. Revelation 1. Verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. We are priests and kings. I'm glad that I'm a priest. You know what a priest can do? Can go boldly into the Holy of Holies. We can come into the presence of God. So he dipped his right the blood and put it on his right ear. And then the Bible says he not only did that in verse 14, but he put his thumb upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot. If you'll read on down, he not only did it with the blood, which was a picture of the cleansing and becoming a priest, but he'd done it with an oil, which is a picture of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that this person could walk in the power and have victory. We don't have to succumb. We don't have to succumb to the power of sin. You do understand that. You say, preacher, I had to. No, nobody has to sin. You sin today as much as you chose to, just like me. When you're saved, you make a choice about sin. Now, if you're not saved, you're driven. You have a passion within you. You have nothing, you have no defense for sin, the power of sin. But when we get saved, God gives us the power over the penalty of sin, over the power of sin. And then one day, thank God, we're going to be removed from the very presence of sin. And so I pray that you would look at that, those chapters there. We'll look more into them. We'll look more into them. Sin's a terrible thing, brethren. It ruins lives. It does. It'll ruin your life. Just a little sin. That's the way it starts out. Just a little sin. Just a little. And then before you know it, you broke out. You broke out in it. It's all over you. Rotting. The average leper in the leper colony stayed 9 years. Died as just a mass of corrupted flesh. Extremities weakened and torn and limbs falling off their body. What a terrible, terrible way to die. But none more terrible than what sin does to people. Leprosy doesn't do anything like what sin does to people. There are people that are just entrenched in the agony of their sin, the bondage. I pray that God would teach us to have a mindful eye about sin. Let's all stand. We're going to have a word of prayer, and as we